So the Uniform Prudent Management Mutual Funds Act is the law in every state except Pennsylvania. And even in Pennsylvania, the law actually has characteristics that kind of prefigured a myth. Pennsylvania tends to have a very unusual regime of charities law. It's really actually fascinating, Pennsylvania's charities law. But in this case, it's a little bit ahead of the curve relative to other states. New York was the last because I think in New York we have so many charities, and our Charities Bureau was very activist around the issue, and they actually made a variety of changes to it. And so when it was enacted, the way it worked was that you could appropriate from an endowment fund a prudent portion. We got rid of all the stuff about was it interest, were they dividends, was it realized capital gain, unrealized capital gain. All that went out the window in favor of this standard of prudent appropriation. And the concept of prudent appropriation was that a board could make an analysis based on a series of factors about how much to take. I'm going to talk about the factors in a second. But I will say that while the waterline went away, that was only as to funds where the donor had not specified a waterline. If the donor had said, you may not spend below the historic dollar value, that's the technical term, not waterline, you may not spend below the historic dollar value. If the donor said that expressly, you were still limited by that. So some endowment funds are grandfathered because of that feature. Oh, I just used that word. I'm sorry. What's the word I'm supposed to use instead?
Transition.
It doesn't work here, does it? Okay. Well, I'm going to have to tell Alex that. We need yet another word for my usage. But in any event, thank you. I saw somebody's expression back there. I was like, oh, I just did it. I did it. In any event, those funds are restricted still. So you may have some of those legacy funds in your institution that are still subject to the old rule. Back to the microphone. So much to remember up here. And the other thing that's still out there in the law is the 7% presumption of imprudence. Try saying that 5 times fast. And the 7% presumption of imprudence was an optional feature of UPMIFA. That is, every state had the option to have a rule that if you spent more than 7, you could pick your percent too. 7 was kind of recommended, but you could have picked a higher percentage. But if you spent more than the 7%, let's say, based on five calendar years or 20 quarters. If you spent above that, it was presumptively imprudent. So that was kind of like a waterline, except that it was optional. So some states have it and some states don't. And so, you know, whatever states you're in, you want to make sure you know whether you've got the 7% presumption of imprudence or not. In New York, because we like to make things as complicated as possible in New York, our rule is that there's a 7% presumption only for endowment funds created after the September the 17th of 2010. And so that was the effective date of UPMIFA, or NIPMIFA as we call it in New York. In Texas it's called TUPMIFA, which I also like to say. And so NIPMIFA, which I don't like to say, NIPMIFA has this weird bifurcated thing. So if you're a new donor, you get the benefit of the 7% presumption. But if you're an old, you know, dead, silent donor, you don't get any benefit at all, which has always seemed to me like the reverse of what it should be. It seems to me like the donors going forward are the ones who should have the ability to set the rules that they want. And the poor, you know, dead donors are the ones who should be being protected by the rules. But thank goodness for my clients, they didn't do it that way. And so the older funds are not protected by the 7% presumption of imprudence. So now we go to the factors analysis. Those of you who are lawyers know that like factors analyses are kind of the centerpiece of, you know, a lot of modern jurisprudence. A lot of legal standards are based on a consideration of the relevant factors. A lot of statutes use factors. Lawyers love using factors because they provide kind of ostensibly objective guideposts for decision makers, but avoid the need for absolutes. And so they leave you in a land of a certain amount of gray. And this is certainly a gray area. And here we have shades of gray. And the factors, I've lined up two kinds of factors here for you. On one side, I have the factors for managing investing of endowment funds, and on the other side, I've got the factors for spending. And the factors are similar but different. And that's basically what I wanted to point out about these factors. Also, the managing and investing funds are the ones that apply to all of your institutional funds. They apply to endowment funds and to quasi-endowment funds. Okay, they're not just about endowment funds. The spending factors, or the appropriation factors on the right, are the ones that apply to spending, how much you can take out of your endowment fund. Now, what you will notice as you scroll down these, the way I've organized them here, what you'll notice is that the first four lines are exactly the same. The factors for investing and managing the funds, whether they're endowment or not endowment, are exactly the same as the factors for spending from the endowment fund.